Saturday, August 31st, the last day in the first year of the war. And this morning in both London and Berlin, air raid alarms sounded one warning after another. In the Balkans, Romania has become just half the country it has been in post-World War days. North Transylvania has gone to Hungary, and southern Dobruja is expected to be turned over to Bulgaria, a settlement of Romania's territorial question marks dictated by Germany and Italy. Now the news from Europe Direct, London and Berlin, afterwards a report from our own national capital. First, a report from the British capital by Larry Lesser.
Good morning, this is London. Most of the people of this world's largest city spent almost half of the last 24 hours underground in air raid shelters. There were three daylight warnings yesterday and one at nightfall, which lasted between 6 and 7 hours until almost dawn. Londoners trooped wearily upstairs to their beds when the all clear sounded, only to hear the wail of the sirens drowning out the noise of their alarm clocks, waking them for work this morning. Just about an hour ago, that hair-raising wail sent them to the shelters again. They'd only just emerged. All through the night, we could see anti-aircraft shells burst in the sky and heard the deeper crump of bombs dropping at many points in Greater London. Planes buzzed overhead and the long fingers of searchlights lapped the skies all night. Several times I saw planes caught in their beams and the yellow flash of anti-aircraft starring the night sky. It was a display of pyrotechnics such as London never before witnessed. Many residents are calling the present phase of the war not the battle for Britain, but the battle for London, that is, between their sleepy yawns. Latest air ministry figures report 62 enemy aircraft brought down in the attack by 600 planes on this country yesterday. 10 of them actually crashed in London itself. One of them fell within sight of people going home in the subway. The air ministry adds that 19 British fighters were lost, but at least 10 of the pilots of these were saved. 13 different towns in southeast England were hit by high explosives yesterday. We don't know yet what the civilian casualties are. Bombs fell in at least 7 areas of London, and the anti-aircraft guns of London were in action. The British press regards the German proposal that 64 vessels be used for rescuing Nazi pilots brought down on the sea be provided with Red Cross markings to give them immunity from attack, as an indication that Germany is losing more airmen than she can afford. The proposal was made to the Swiss government, and it's been rejected by Britain. The official British announcement says that His Majesty's government is surprised by the request, because the German government has repeatedly attacked British hospital ships in circumstances which admitted no possible mistake as to their identity. It would appear that the Germans are greatly concerned over the loss of so many of their pilots. In their life jackets, the German pilots are known to be carrying a large amount of dye. This leaves a bright green patch on the water surrounding the floating mass. Now, British pilots use the same color dye in their life preservers, so that when a pilot is shot down in the channel, rescue ships of both nations do their utmost to pick up the drowning man, not knowing his nationality. Londoners are pleased this morning about one thing at least, that the residents of Berlin also spent some sleepless hours. The raid on the German capital was said to be the most intense of the war. It was the third time in 5 nights that Berlin citizens were forced to raid for the air raid shelters. The German radio says that civilians were severely injured, but no military objectives were hit. The sirens are just beginning to sound now, if you hear them. Ed Moore has just telephoned from Dover. He says that 4 German fighter planes roused the town at dawn this morning by shooting down barrage balloons. New balloons, however, are already mounting into the sky. One of the Dover war correspondents was struck by a machine gun bullet this morning. However, it merely bounced off his tin hat, doing him no injury. In the German raids this morning, 13 are already claimed to have been shot down. About 200 bombers and fighters came over the southeast coast and then fanned out. There's an air raid on in London at the moment. I return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Larry Lesser reporting from London. Here's a dispatch from Rome. A high command communique said today that Italian planes had bombed and hit a British cruiser in the Red Sea and had bombed British mechanized units in the Dar al-Amber zone in Egypt. Now, we've heard from London. In just a moment, we take you back across the ocean for the latest news reported from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. Last night, we had another British air raid over Berlin. It came as something of a surprise. For in the previous raids, the British always arrived about 12:30. So when 1 o'clock came last night, most of us figured we would have a quiet night. But somewhat later, the sirens sounded, accompanied by the fire of anti-aircraft guns. The raid lasted over 2 hours. And here is some information that American reporters who went to the scenes of the bombing have to report. German officials in Berlin told them that the damage inflicted was greater than that of Thursday night's raid. Incidentally, last night, like Thursday, was a very clear and starry night. But the Berlin police chief told the Americans that the damage done to Berlin by British bombing attacks is so far insignificant, considering the possibilities of modern aerial warfare. In the southeast section of Berlin, which has been raided before by the British, the Americans saw 8 buildings that were hit. And one of these included the main Berlin fire station. One of the bombs dug a 10-foot crater in the street outside the firehouse. In the northwest section of Berlin, where the great Siemens work is located, minor damage was inflicted, it was reported here. And about a half a mile south of the Unterdolinden, which is the heart of Berlin, 4 houses were hit by incendiary bombs. A nearby church and hospital were hit by bomb fragments, but no damage was done, according to these eyewitness reports. When Berliner told the Americans, and this seems to be confirmed from other sources, that the British plane seemed to come in 3 waves, this eyewitness reports that he saw one British plane flying as low as 1,200 feet. It was clearly visible, and from this low altitude, it discharged its cargo. British planes apparently do not carry large explosive bombs, probably not over 200 pounds each, plus their cargoes of incendiary bombs. This is due to the long flight that they have to make from England to Berlin and back again. The official communique this morning reports that several British planes flew over the Berlin area and dropped explosive and incendiary bombs in different places. The bombs started fires and damaged buildings, mostly civilian buildings, the official report states. 3 people were seriously injured in the raid, while 3 others suffered minor injuries, according to the last checkup. Some of the foreign correspondents went on an inspection trip after the raid with propaganda ministry officials. And this is commented upon in the Beitzer Nipag this noon. This paper writes, quote, "The foreign correspondents will prove that the British are directing their attacks exclusively against non-military objectives in the city of Berlin," end of quote. This morning, we have a day-in-day report which seems to indicate that the Germans are having another big air offensive against England today. The official news agency says the German bombers and pursuit ships took off in the early hours of this morning in mass formation. The Germans state that their planes raided military objectives in Hertfordshire. Other mass formations of German planes reported that they have succeeded in breaking through the balloon barrage and have only been partially hindered in their flights over London itself. Other planes claim to have successfully attacked airfields north of London and destroyed hangars and other buildings. So far, the Germans report that they have shot down 25 British planes, while 6 German planes are lost. Heavy air fights are reported. This morning, we have pictures of the proposed new order in the Balkans resulting from the Vienna conference. Incidentally, in the new agreement, sponsored by Germany and Italy, there is a clause which gives the Reich the guarantee that German minorities in both Hungary and what's left of Romania will be protected. This is Edwin Hartridge. I return you now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York, and such is the news this morning from Europe. Now we'll hear the latest reports from our own national capital by Albert Warner. We take you now to Washington.
A night of German planes over London, night of bombs, and you could hear the air raid warning again as Larry Lesser spoke. Now what the damage may be from those raids of last night and yesterday, no one here could safely estimate. But until yesterday, the judgment of several American officials in key places for the receipt of private information was that no overwhelming damage had been done to British industry. One official who was in touch with British and Canadian diplomats and with the reports from American army and military attachés abroad puts the German airplane losses at a ratio of 3 against the British 1. If that information is correct, it is not so far away from the official British figure. but it is absolutely contrary to the figures consistently made public in Berlin. Thus, in a sense, this judgment in American official circles tends to support the confidence of the British ambassador, Lord Lothian. I saw him when he came out of Secretary Hull's office last evening. Then he said, happily, "We have won the Battle of Britain for this autumn." The French ambassador has been another visitor at the State Department. He was not a happy visitor yesterday. When he first came to Washington, his country was a power. Its army was described by experts as the best in Europe. But they had overlooked some of the fundamentals of a modern army. Now the ambassador is saying goodbye to officials here. He is returning to consult with the peace government of what is left of his country. Then he is to be transferred to Brazil. One of the fundamentals most of the experts overlooked was strength in the air. Both the administration defense program and its critics here have been emphasizing the common desire to build up American power in the air. Condemned by Senator Byrd of Virginia for the scarcity of combat planes ordered in the last 100 days, the Army has placed a contract to double its force of long-range bombers. Contracts have been placed for 687 big bombers and interceptor planes designed to fight enemy bombers. Orders for more than $300 million have been placed in the last 24 hours for combat planes and engines. Agreement was reached for the production of 20,000 high-speed airplane motors and 14,000 propellers yesterday. The attention of the State Department has been turning again to the Far East. Despite all the denunciation of Russian policy in the recent past, and despite the rape of Finland, the seizure of territory from Poland and Romania, and the total absorption of three small nations on the Baltic, there are very plain indications that the State Department is now trying to be polite to Soviet Russia. Conversations as to general problems have been privately conducted with the Soviet ambassador here. A trade pact with Russia was recently signed. The export of tool machinery, hitherto held up, was facilitated. The chartering of American ships to carry goods to Russia had been discouraged. Recently, the impediment was removed. In State Department circles, the explanation is that we are simply trying to see if there is room to settle some differences. But it is quite obvious that no such approach is being made to Japan. Here again, the explanation is that we have tried to be polite and moderate in the case of Japan, but that in return we have been only slapped. Among observers, this deduction is being made. The State Department is exploring the possibility of a counterweight to Japan in the Far East through an improvement of relations with Russia. Well, other nations have tried that game with Soviet Russia. They have not succeeded unless they had a few small nations and other spoils to throw to the Soviet. This is the last day in the federal government for James A. Fawley, Postmaster General, better known to thousands and thousands as Jim. His successor will probably be Frank Walker, businessman, friend of the president, former treasurer of the Democratic National Committee, and former chief of the National Emergency Council. Jim shook hands yesterday with 1,100 employees of his post office department. Many other people will wish him well today. We return you now to New York.
This is New York, and here is a dispatch from Budapest. The Hungarians' joy over getting back northern Transylvania from Romania is heightened today by rumors that they may get some more territory from Yugoslavia. It is reported that Yugoslavia may be ready to cede some of the Banat district, a 3,000-square-mile region along the Danube. This once was part of Austria-Hungary. And with this news, Columbia concludes this regular morning report of national and international developments, which comes to you each morning at this time and each evening at 6:45 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Larry Lesser reported this morning from London, Edwin Hartridge from Berlin, Albert Warner from Washington. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.